listening to WCNO, Palm City.
And I always had anger towards him, but I remember one night I was coming home from a meeting on the Barrier Island, and all of a sudden I had this quick flash of a vision. I can't explain. I see things. I'm an intuitive and have a gift from the Lord. But anyway, I saw him, and he was smiling at me. He was standing in line, and the old mean guy was behind him, but he was in this line of people, and he was looking right at me with the most loving smile. And instantaneously said, oh, that's him in heaven. He's a changed man. So I have forgiven him. Sometimes I'll get riled up and be angry again, but I have no ill will towards him. So I can see where that can happen. How did you come to forgive these cops that were just trying to nab somebody and look good way back then? And actually, I mean, did they know they were perpetrating a crime of deceit, these cops?
I do. I believe in my heart that they do. Yeah. I believe they didn't care.
I agree.
How can you not care? You're a cop and you don't care?
They didn't care who got the conviction. They just wanted the conviction. And that was the basic sense of it. It's strange to say that because, you know, I'm a firm believer in law enforcement. There's a firm need for it. But I tell you, when people get lazy, they get lazy. And that's just exactly what they do. They get lazy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they tunnel visioned on me quick before I knew it. Mm-hmm. They took my picture that day with my brother, and they started showing my picture around, and people were saying, yeah, that's him. Mm-hmm. That's the guy. Mm-hmm. It's like God really had it planned for me to go down for it. Or the devil did. Somebody had it planned for me to go.
Well, if it did save your soul, though, like I said, it's flipped to say this, but it'll be well worth it eternally, you know. And then your brother gets so upset. You got upset with this, so you went off and became a cop so you could what? Investigate?
I left in the military, and then I became a police officer, and first thing I wanted to do was learn about my brother's case as a homicide investigator, and that's what I did.
So now you're in prison. I want to hear about the Jesus part of your story. So you're in prison, which has got to be a horrible, horrible thing. I've gone into prisons to do concerts, gospel concerts, and also preach a little bit throughout the United States, New York State, Florida. I forget where else. But anyway, how did this bring you to a closer walk with him? Because you could have gotten bitter instead of better.
Well, it took years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It took years because I was extremely angry.
Mm-hmm. A right to be.
Well, the point was, unlike you, I was extremely angry in my youth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's how people saw me, that I was extremely angry. So, and that's what I was. And it took years, especially, I'm in Florida State Prison. At the time, it was one of the fifth worst in the nation. Mm-hmm. And all I could do is survive. Mm-hmm. I've been attacked multiple times, and I'm trying to live outside of an 8-foot cell. I don't want to live inside of an 8-foot cell for a life or mandatory 25. So it's extremely tough, but the anger that I have is sort of saving me. It's given me a sense of survival, a sense of protection in a way. Even though I'm not winning, I'm getting something. And the reality of it all is it took years. And I watched a program one time while I was sweeping the floor. I was sweeping the floor inside the rec center that I worked in. And this is years later. And I saw this little kid on the television had cancer. He was in a bed. And Tim McGraw or somebody, a country star, I think it was Tim McGraw, was coming in to see him. And he had a bandana on his head, and he came in, and they told us a little about the kid, saying that he was terminal, and he had only months to live. And when he talked to Tim McGraw, it was just a light that I saw. I mean, it was so powerful the way he talked to him and the way he did things, like he was going to live forever, in the senses of it was. But the bottom line of what I drew from that and what God made me see in it was the fact that you can cry all you like, and you can spill all the tears that you want to. Reality is that more people are suffering more than you. And I realized that I was still alive. I was still doing pretty good. And that, you know, there was something here that needed to be done, and started to change my life. And I just kept remembering it And I released all the anger in my body. It didn't happen overnight, of course, but I just kept remembering, and something saved my soul and told me just to keep remembering. So every time I got in the situation, I'd remember that kid on that television show. It was just so personal, and it was meant for me to see and everything, and it changed my life. And I think it really, I think it helped set me free.
Well, I do know this, that the Lord says a broken and contrite heart he will not despise, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering candle he will not snuff out. And, you know, Abraham, I think, spoke about that unless the seed dies, right, or one of the prophets, unless the seed dies. And it's a funny thing because the seed, it actually dries up, and then you plant it in the ground, and then it continues to dry up and die. And at its greatest moment of death, up sprouts something in its life. And a cup comes a tree from a seed, which bears 100, 200, 300 fold. And it's just simply amazing what you went through. I wanted to know now, this is just, and you don't have to answer anything I ask you, but of course the immediate thought is, well, I sure hope you got compensated monetarily. I do know they're going to be making a film called Framed on your book. And by the way, is the book available everywhere now?
It is on Amazon. You can go, and that'll be great if you can talk to your audience and let him know, because Bill's in the process of needing a heart transplant.
We need a heart.
And he's on the list, and purchasing the book will help him to offset some of his costs. So that's where we're on.
Well, I'll tell you what I will do for you is
– broken heart that you talked about.
Yeah, and I will tell you this, that yesterday, you know, my wife was having problems with her back, and so I called en route to the church. The church here, St. John's, has a healing service every Thursday at 11 a.m., open to the public. It's a little church, a stone church over on the beach, and I was on the way there, and I called the 700 Club and got prayer for her. And ironically, the lady had been through the same thing, that my wife had been multiple cancers, and then her mother had it and been miraculously healed. So we got there, and then the pastor, Pastor John, gave a little 10-minute sermon, and then everybody was praying for her, the pastor, and of course all the women in this church. And my wife said she felt this enormous heat on her back. Mm. And so I'm going to get you, I got to remember this, I got to get you on the prayer lines there. And we got to get the word out far and wide, you know, and then maybe I'll even do a video interview with you in the near future, and then I can put that. I've got 7,000 followers on Rhett Palmer, 5,000 friends, and that's only one of my sites. Then I've got Vero's Voice, our magazine. I've got Instagram. I'll do the best that I can, and I'll put you on. If we do a short little video of like a minute or so, I'll put it on TikTok. Recently, I've gotten great following, I was looking yesterday, 59,300 on one, which is not millions, but maybe we can get this thing done and yep. Help you, you know?
Great. That is awesome, right?
Yeah, now people, I don't know, how do you go by getting, I guess somebody has to die, right, for you to get a heart?
Yeah, somebody under 40 and under has to die, and has to be a certain type, and they have to have the right HLAs, you know? I'm on the list. I'm a 4. And you're right. Somebody has to die.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, I hope you.
I'm really troubled by that too. You know, I'm 65 years old.
Young.
And I'm young, but I'm not young. But I didn't have my 20s, 30s, or 40s. And you know, am I being selfish trying to get a heart from somebody that?
No, not at all.
God will give me with one. I know he will.
Yeah.
And I just worry that I'm being selfish.
No, you're not being selfish. Wow. So, by the way, do we have somebody happens to be accidentally listening to this broadcast, and I don't know if they can be of help or they can pray. Do we have an email address or a phone number you guys would want to give to the listening audience?
I'll give that to you, or we can put that on the site. Ellen Moskowitz has started up a GoFundMe page, so maybe we can direct them to the GoFundMe page. It's actually on my phone, Rhett.
Oh, and I got your phone in my hand.
And you got your phone.
Well, we'll give it out a little later on in the broadcast. Yeah, but they can always contact me through the radio station. We'll get the
or Doolin. Yes, absolutely.
Or Doolin. Doolin Dalton at JD Productions. and he does weddings and stuff, and that was your former company.
Yes, yes.
Well, anyway, well, I just wanted you to know, well, this will be a nice little, you know, introduction here to you, and we'll, maybe we'll do a more in-depth interview in the future if that's okay with you.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm. Well, William Mitchell...
Michael,
my eyes. Michael Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N. God bless you, and may the Lord... Before we hang up, is there anything you would like to say to the listening audience?
Yeah, God has blessed me. I mean, look at me. Yeah, I'm in need of a heart, but look at where I've come from. Mm-hmm. Look at the journey that I've been through, and just think that God hasn't blessed me. God has blessed me, I mean, tremendously. My beautiful wife... just my beautiful life. I mean, it's just, he has blessed me. I've come a long way, but I needed to learn some things, I guess. And that's all I really want to say.
Well, I do want to tell you this.
I want to thank everybody, too. I want to thank everyone.
Well, I want to tell you this.
My journey.
Well, I want to tell you this. God's been taking me through some deep waters over the past couple of years. And I've learned that Jesus, it is written. I even talked to a guy who had been on Christian radio for years, and he didn't think that this was in the Bible. It says, Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Well, I'm sure that Jesus didn't need to learn obedience. I said, well, yes, he did. I said, look in the scriptures. And it also said he was a man acquainted with many sorrows. You know, we only grow in the valleys, William. We only grow in the valleys, and... So, yes, you're right. You're right. You're spot on with that. That he does say we will share in the tribulations. You know, Jesus said the world hates me because I show them that their deeds are evil. And if they hate me, how much more will they hate you for declaring him, you know? So,
yeah,
we'll stay in touch and we'll stay in touch with you. And we look forward to that documentary. We'll keep it in prayer that, you know, everything is done righteously and that maybe you can prosper from that after you get your new heart.
Well, thank you very much. It's great talking to you.
You too.
Love you, Joe.
Love you too, brother. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. All right. So that's fantastic. Yeah, I lost my only brother. And I tell you what, I used to say once in a while, I lived in upstate New York. So, oh, that's right. I forgot. I have a brother. He's down in Florida, you know. Forgot you had a brother. Well, in other words, you don't think about it. And then when they're gone, there's not a day, not a day. You don't think about them. You know?
Every single day, but yeah, it's with all loved ones. But then we go back to the point of God will always lead us and always protect us and always give us the strength, even in our low valleys. Brett, don't we have to be in one of the low valleys for even to reach out? Because there were times where I was low.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
A1 Auto Care of Hope Sound is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Dave and Esther Morgan have been serving Treasure Coast motorists since 1986. With the best in automotive care. A1 Auto Care is located across the railroad tracks at the next crossing south of Bridge Road in Hope Sound. A1 Auto Care is available at 546-6667, where honesty is their only policy. That's 772-546-6667.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive